are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get on people, yeah. What are you gonna do? You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, needed to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know you got it done. That's the kind of brother and sister that you is. You always get it done. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa Imposed, and then click on that, and you can get previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. Other programs on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays this evening, all times I'm going to give are Eastern times. Yeah. Acres of Diamonds, that comes on from 6 to 8. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Tuesdays, tomorrow night from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, and her program Revive. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, it's time for an awakening, brothers and sisters. That's right. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it ain't me. It is Sister POC and her program Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number of the call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832, where you can give your questions, comments, or concerns, or you can just give your African perspective. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. In fact, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. They also have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. So if you're in the Atlanta area, go to the Greenbrier Mall and check out WeBuyBlack.com. But go online for all the products that are produced by us, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Check out my good brother, Bomani Tayembe. He will be having another tour for Ghana in May 2019. And so if you want to take advantage of this and start saving your money for it, give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429, or go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to check out photos from previous tours, and particularly the latest, which was just back in November, Facebook.com/Bomani. You want to check out videos? youtube.com/Bomonti2007. Books. Nothing more important than reading for our people. Books. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. They have books, furniture, clothing, artwork, you name it. They even have a new museum at the Shrine located in the West End area of Atlanta, 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And the Shrine of the Black Madonna has books. Also, too, they have a history club, Know Thyself, every Saturday, open free to the public from 1:30 to 3:30. Check that out. It's a free history class. Also, too, if you are serious about our history and you want this multimedia library, a digital resource of over 100,000 files on the history of American African people and culture, over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books. It is 4.5 terabytes of enlightenment. Contact the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Contact Brother Olatunji at 404-444-6696. 404-444-6696. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also, two other bookstores is the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore, Medu Netcher. Medu means writings, Netcher means gods. Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right near the food court. Also, two. Oh, that's right, Kwanzaa. I'm going to give you the whole rundown of Kwanzaa at the Shrine, but more importantly for my date is the second day, December 27th, Kujichagulia, Self-Determination. And that day will be sponsored by ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, the Atlanta chapter, as well as WADU, the Georgia chapter of WADU, and other organizations that deal with self-determination, us lifting us. We have UNIA. We have INCOBRA. We have a number of organizations that we'll be highlighting as well. Pan-African organizations. So, and our guest speaker will be Dr. F. Key Slaughter in his program, The Movement, on WAOK 1380 Radio, FAM here in Atlanta, Brother Dr. F. Key Slaughter. And so that's that. And then there's going to be another Kwanzaa, and that is going to be on the 29th. And that's going to be at the Black Dot. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore located 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the Black Dot for show, and we'll have Kwanzaa there. And I'm going to be the host, do a libation in the host, and the keynote speaker is Baba Mwalimu Baruti. Me and Baba Baruti, so I'm very excited about that. And that is on the Saturday the 29th, Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, Ujamaa. So, us lifting us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family-Centered Economics, ULU, every Thursday. Their broadcast is Thursday at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk, 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. Brothers and sisters, please support us lifting us. Let's pull our monies together. Let's do for ourselves. We have a cafe that we've started in Atlanta, Cafe ULU, located 2036 Sylvan Road, and open every Monday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we sell coffee. That's right. We have African coffee. We have Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenyan, and, of course, the birth of coffee, the place that coffee originated, Ethiopia. We also have Panamanian, Nicaraguan, Brazilian coffees. We also have loose teas. Everything at Cafe ULU is produced by us. Produced by us. Check them out. Go online, cafeulu.com. CAFEULU.com. Also check out the website of usliftingus.com. We also have a drink at Cafe ULU, Ambrosia. That's my good brother Novak Young. It's delicious vitality drink, Ambrosia. And it's very good. It's lot of good ingredients such as hibiscus, ginger, turmeric, chlorophyll, cinnamon, aloe, cayenne, spirulina, all kinds of good stuff for your body and for you. So check that out. And that is at Cafe Ulu. Our affirmation. I'm going to read, today, of course, is the 17th, but there's one before it I'm going to read, which was yesterday, and then I'll read the one for today. Like I said, sometimes I see these things, and they're very profound. This is from the book Ye Isesim, which is a calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts by Brother Mwalimu Baruti, Baba Baruti. Olamenje. This is December 16th. Unless black people change their thinking, we will be phased out of existence like obsolete equipment. This is Baba Baruti's narrative. The argument has been put forth internationally. Africans are viewed as no more than slave labor, and whoever controls that labor will rule the world. Interestingly, no other people is viewed in this way. This is one of the main reasons why Europeans, Arabs, Asians are now fighting over the African continent and its human resources. Sadly, so many of us are competing with each other to welcome aliens into our homeland. Apparently, many of us are mesmerized by these smiling predators. Imagine such incredible historical stupidity. Affirm, I fight for an anonymous, autonomous self-control of African people's labor. Affirm, I fight for the autonomous self-control of African people's labor. December 17th. The man dies, and all who keep silent in the face of tyranny. Hule Songje. The man dies, and all who keep silent in the face of tyranny. The history of the relationship between Africans and Europeans should tell us that questions of forgetting and forgiving do not deserve a momentary reflection. It is a lie that not forgiving guilty people gives them power over you. They will hold power over you only until you stop them from doing so. As long as they are allowed to dominate you, your forgiveness of them is worthless in preventing them from destroying you and all you represent. In fact, underserved forgiveness gives them even more freedom to act against you. In a world of equals, forgiveness requires that the predators, the perpetrators, number one, collectively recognize and admit their crimes. Number two, stop trying to draw comparisons between their crimes and those of their victims in an attempt to lessen the impact of what they did. Number three, are truly sorry for what they have done. Number four, have stopped in all ways doing whatever it was that they are seeking forgiveness for. And number five, have fully compensated their victims. Reparations. Have fully compensated their victims. And ain't none of that happened. Forgetting, of course, is even more nonsensical because forgetting, like forgiving, leaves one open to repeat assaults by the same people in the same way. Even worse, if you forget how you got to where you were, you are now. You will not be able to find your way home. If you forgot where you are now, you will not be able to find your way home. And even if we rediscover our roots but do not understand what tore us from them, we can easily be ripped from them again and again, each time becoming more distant from the possibilities of a complete return home, our final return. Affirm, I forgive enemies only for good reason, but I never forget. Affirm, I forgive enemies only for good reason, but I will never forget. Good morning, brothers and sisters. This is African Perspectives. I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'm glad to have a guest, This brother has been on this program before. He is a very sharp brother. Very impressed with him and some of the stuff that he has seen on Facebook. And, of course, he has written two books. He has written two books. The one book, and I'm well, I'll tell you, we'll let him talk about it, because one is the loss prevention and damage control, and the other one is why must we play these dating games? Brothers and sisters, help me welcome Brother Kenneth Marshall. Good morning, Brother Kenneth Marshall.
Good morning. Good morning, my brother. How you doing?
I am doing fine, man. I'm doing great. Good to have you back again. Always a pleasure to chop it up with you, to talk about various things that are going on. I've seen you on panel discussions with brothers and sisters in the Dallas area and a number of other things, and highly impressed. But, you know, one of the things, reason why I do call you to talk it up is this religious battle that you've been having with a number of people on Facebook. And sometimes it kind of cracks me up, you know. But you've been on point. You've been on point, and you haven't wavered. So I appreciate that, you know. But let's talk about let's talk about your books, and then we'll get off into the other piece a little bit later. So now,
You had mentioned it. Yeah, the first book was Why Must We Play These Dating Games, and that book is just asking a very simple question. I mean, you know, you see a lot of the gamesmanship between the sexes and genders when it comes to dating. You know, it's a lot of stuff that kind of contradicts reality, you know. So, you know, you can have a situation where you know, you're advised, or society's system has made you believe that this is what you should look for, this is what you should do, you should have these type of things, a woman shouldn't do this, a man shouldn't. So it's a lot of gamesmanship. So I wanted to touch bases on that and give some definition to a few terms, so you could be a little bit more wiser and setting your expectations in that particular book. And then the second book is Dating Truths, Loss Prevention versus Damage Control. And that's kind of a little bit more of the game within the games. And that's the loss prevention is men not to get played, and the damage control is women trying not to be used. So now you have two people who want the same thing, which is a union, but now they're coming at it from a position where they're trying to gain the vantage point. They want to play with the lead. So now she immediately tries to put you behind her in the chase mode, in the chase position, by saying, hey, you need to wait I need to wait 90 days. Okay, so now, right? And then the guy is saying, well, hey, man, 90 days is a long time. I ain't going to be taking you out on all this day. That's a lot of bread. So I ain't trying to get played either, because there's a fine line between being on the right track and getting used, getting played. So that's where we're trying to gauge, because you're like, look, man, I don't know, because I trust is already at an all-time low.
So exactly.
Like, I don't know if you got somebody else, and you just hungry, and you just wanted a free meal. What the hell's going on? So we got to figure this thing out quick.
Yeah.
So that's what it kind of touched bases on with that particular book.
Well, you know, I love both of them. At least the title, I haven't read them yet. I got to get them. In fact, I want to talk to you about that, get them from you so they'll be all signed and everything like that, and make sure you get that, because I'm definitely going to do that, because in further programs down the road, we'll definitely be dealing with this, because we definitely need to talk about the relationships that we have and what is problematic in terms of relationships. You know, I always said it's tough to have a relationship, particularly a mutual relationship between a man and a woman, in a society that does not promote them. This society does not promote good relations. That's why we're over 60-70% of marriages end in divorce. That's why it's even tougher in our community. I mean, if you talk about tough relationships in a society, it's more profound in us and more difficult in us than probably, because number one, we have been trained by the society not to love one another, not to respect one another, not to work with one another. Coming out of that captive experience or slave experience, they knew that the strongest unit that could challenge European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is the family.
Right.
Is the family. And of course, what produces good family is good relationships. A man and a woman working together, you know, the complementarity of it, the symbiotic relationship that we must have as men and women. That's why I think what you're doing here is very important in terms of giving our brothers and sisters some real expectations, because the society will definitely not do that.
Exactly. And you have to really, I mean, again, if you see my posts, if you read my books, I always come from a very logical, realistic perspective and a point.
That's
and,
right. And, that's right, Brother and, Marshall. Brother Marshall, you are the voice of reason.
Right. I mean, because, again, you can go with the fluff. You can initiate the fluff and it's supposed to be how it's supposed to be dynamic. And you can go with that initially. But then all of a sudden, eventually, you will have to deal with the reality of the situation. So if you're looking at in a position to where religion has dominated your expectation, you're already in a lost state, mm-hmm. right? Because right. now you're trying to set yourself to follow a process that is never proven to work, but it gives you an out by saying, okay, well, we all fall short. What the fuck? I mean, that's basically, it's kind of like, you know, we're going to partner. It's almost a mockery, you know, mm-hmm. to say, hey, set it up here, but we all know that you can't get there. Mm-hmm. So even when the person fails, if they come with a good enough excuse, maybe you should forgive them. You know, but again, if you deal with the whole reality of the situation, let's look at it. When I asked the question in one of the books, do you honestly believe that we are set to be monogamous? Do you believe in our genetic code that we are meant to be monogamous to one another? And as humans, yeah. I don't know if that's really what we are meant to be.
No, of course not. Of course
okay,
not.
Okay, so.
You know, because just like, see, just like in everything within nature, there's always going to be more females than males.
Absolutely.
Okay? So even though one may argue, and this is a thing for sisters or for women, period, you know,
right.
they want that one guy. They hope and pray for that one guy. They wish, you know, that man comes along, sweeps them off their feet, that one guy, and they live happily ever after. You know, because the reality right. is there is a woman for every man, but there's not a man for every woman.
You Absolutely.
Know? There's not a man for every woman. And so that being the reality. But the other thing is that within our nature as men, as human beings, to know monogamy is not something that would be natural, because it's not natural in nature. You know?
Exactly. But the European concept, this religious concept that, hey, yes, you can find your one true soulmate, and you guys are it's gonna feel like the first time, every time this particular person is going to make it to where you never get bored, you never get tired. That's a bunch of crap, but we're judging that.
Right.
You know, we're coming into the union with that expectation, and that's where it fails.
Right.
Immediately. That's where, I mean, because you set the expectation on something that isn't real, that isn't natural, as you put it.
Right.
And you think about it. You think about this, brother. Women eventually stop producing eggs. We men, we never stop the ability to produce offspring. A woman can only have one child per year, right? If she gets pregnant,
right.
she can't get double pregnant. I can produce a child every day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you think about it, and people are talking about, well, there's animals that mate for life doesn't mean only sleep with, only right. have sex with. So that's the big part of it. So I just think that a lot of times we have to look at it, look at other cultures where polygamy was a part of it, mm-hmm. and understand it. But your whole thought process will not allow you to accept it because you've been too indoctrinated with
exactly.
this concept.
Exactly. Which of course is a very selfish concept, which of course is very European, because they're very right. selfish. And of course they lie to themselves because
all day long
they lie. Man, he's some liars. Because the reality is that divorce rates are high. You know, there's a lot of cheating within marriage, a lot of infidelity within marriage, and so forth. You know, a lot of women, even back in the day, a woman would acquiesce to the man. Because understand this, in the evolutionary development of Europeans, of Caucasians, mm-hmm. coming in an environment that was so harsh and so cruel, you know, made them selfish, greedy, sexist, racist. This is a Michael Caucasian from Canada. Michael Bradley wrote a book, The Iceman's Inheritance, the European selfish, sexist, and greedy nature. And so, you know, unlike in Africa, where there was a symbiotic relationship, men and women understood we are together, you know. But in Europe, the woman, she had to acquiesce because the man, they had found a cave and she didn't act right or be right, he'd kick her out. And she ain't going to want to get kicked out into that dark, cold night with animals and so don't know what's going on. So the woman and that's what she has always done to some degree, is acquiesce to the man. And of course, that kind of culture, that's what another thing we don't understand. European culture is very hardcore, dominating, matriarchal, very male dominating. And as a consequence, out of that, you get this selfish culture that the Europeans have, and which is also like a rape culture, you know? And so we don't understand this. Because we believe what the European says, all the good that they say, but we need to look at the evil they do. Because it's not what you say, it's what you do. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And their actions is clear. I mean, and that's what you look at my post, you look at my book. I just basically try to make you look at what has been in front of you that you have blocked by what someone has told you. And that expectation has blocked you to the obvious truth. And it's just a sad existence. I mean, again, it goes back to the religious aspect of it. I mean, you know, we're set up on all of this, what they preach, you know, all of this, we can be together. It's a union. It's all for love. And then they'll just sit there. And again, like you've seen that one post, it was a reason why the Europeans deployed their most powerful infantry unit, which is their missionaries.
Right.
It's their most powerful infantry unit.
Yeah.
And to soften you up for the slaughter.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, they've done it everywhere. And I like that one. I know you read that a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. The guy went over there to that indigenous island and he got introduced to their arrows.
Yep. Yep. You know, because he wanted to spread.
Yeah.
I want to spread the joy and love of Christ. You know, I want to these savages. Hey, and he was forewarned. He was warned consistently. And then, of course, anybody will do anything for some money. And so he got these folks. If they paid him, they'll do it. They'll take him over to that island, knowing that he shouldn't have done it, you know. And so there that is. And so to me, that's just chalk it up to some stupidity. Because to me, you should, in fact, listen to this. Them, meaning the Caucasians, and if more would come, that would have meant their death, because they would have been introducing into their society the diseases that Caucasians have that may be immune to them, but would truly afflict others, just like when they came here to this country or like when they came into Africa. You know, Caucasians are very disease-ridden, and that's just a fact. You know, I'm not trying to. In fact, I mean, let me say this, Brother Marshall. I don't be saying stuff just to be saying stuff. I'm, you know, the stuff that I try to put out there is, you know, it's not my opinion. I don't give you my opinion, because my opinion is profane. It really is. It's deeply profane. But what I try to give you is based upon the scholarly research by our scholars and our students. We got a caller. You want to take this call?
Sure. All right. Let's do it.
All right, 267. 267, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brother Oshie. I want to say good morning to Brother Marshall. I'm enjoying the conversation because, Brother Oshie, you know, your program talks about how we have to be of a sovereign mind to get our sovereignty. And I've always been a person that never believed in monogamy, even though I have to practice it, because that's where we're at. But, you know, like you said, this system teaches us how to be selfish. With all these sisters out here and these single homes with all these children running around, these women are craving men. You know, we even have an old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. So I'm glad that we're starting to talk some truth and get over this lie of feminism and this garbage that we have been indoctrinated with. And I wanted to say something else too, Brother Oshie. You're right about the diseases, because that island, North Sentinel Island, they said about 80% of that population had been killed off by Europeans visiting that island and carrying diseases. So it's right there in the history books how a lot of those people died. And it's from the diseases that were carried from the continent of Europe. But I just wanted to call, man, and say I agree.
Okay.
You know, this country call it cheating. They call it all sorts of nonsense while justifying homosexuality and all this other filth. Mm-hmm. But they call a man desiring, and I'm not just saying go ho-hopping or something like that. I'm talking about actually loving these sisters for what they bring.
Right on.
And make sure that you take care of that woman. You know, because there are a lot of religions that practice it. It's in their holy books. It's in their holy books, but yet they think that means just going around banging this one, banging that one. No, it means if you're responsible enough or you have the dignity to take care of two women, a bunch of children, and make sure that everybody in that family's loved, it's nothing wrong with it. It's just that we've been indoctrinated with this garbage. Our sisters, they just want the one man. But if you notice, Brother Oshie and Brother Marshall, women desire men that are already taken. That's the concept, because if you don't have a female, they don't even look your way. But if you have a female, they desire you, and that's a proven fact, man. So I'm enjoying the conversation. But we have to get out of this mindset.
Well, then you'll enjoy it even more, Brother Ralph, because we're going to talk about religion in the second half of the program. So go ahead, Brother Marshall. Go ahead, make your comment.
Brother, you make a great, and how you doing, man? You make a great, great point. You got to look at it like this. You have it to where I asked the question from my first book, Why Must We Play These Dating Games? I had a 38-question survey and to gather the information. It was about 200 women, 80% African-American, the rest were I could find, and about 165 men, majority was African-American men. But I asked the question for both genders. Knowing what you know, based off your past experiences and what you've seen around you from everything, out of 100 of the opposite sex, how many do you believe can be monogamous for the rest of their life? And the rest of their life was a minimum of 20 years. The average answer for men was probably under 10%. Women were like under 5, right? Because there's, again, I mentioned there was a lack of trust that we have based off of what we've been through. We know how scandalous people can be. We know how you'll find out after the fact. You'll never be told prior to the act. And then you got to throw into the element of that. If she already knows that there's a very likelihood that men are not going to be monogamous and they will go and get whatever they want behind your back, and men feel in the same way, then you throw into the element the competition that sisters have amongst each other. That's why it's always better to go after somebody else's man, as you mentioned, than the other, because I've never seen it. I've never seen it to where a woman is going to accept being in the background. She has to make it known. She'll start, even on social media, she'll start excessively liking your pictures, commenting, leave little comments. She'll start leaving bobby pins at your crib. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now she has an earring. Well,
Hey, Brother Marshall, check this out, though. How many of us, and I know I'm not alone, I had uncles that were cousins by my grandmother and grandfather who were married over 40 years. But they had children outside of that union, and those children were known, they were loved. I have an uncle that's also a cousin. So, you know, I'm just telling you, this thing has been present in our community for a long time. It's just that we have been taught to cast shame on it while other cultures have no problem with it, because they know they have no problem with it. So, you know, I just wanted to call in with my two cents.
I like this conversation. I think we need to have more of it because it causes us to be real instead of listening to this Wendy Williams nonsense that's preached to us every day. You know what I mean?
I agree. I say.
Yes, sir. All right, brother Oshie, I'm going to continue listening.
Thanks a lot, Ralph.
But I just had to call in, my brother.
All right,
you
listen.
Have a blessing.
If there's another,
all right,
you know, brother, if there's another question, please don't hesitate to call us. Thanks, Ralph. We have another caller. 678. All right. Well,
hello?
Hold on. 678. All right. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things, Brother Marshall, that I mean, I've advocated for a long time how this society does not promote good relationships. You know, it doesn't. I mean, in fact, when even as you're young, you know, the whole idea is, you know, the game. Damn, she fine. Right. I like to tap that. And she'd be like, he kind of cute. I hope he got a car. You know, it's all about gaming, you know. It's all about that kind of game. And nobody steps to somebody, you know, sincerely and committedly, you know. And also, too, understanding, once again, as I stated earlier, yes, there is a woman for every man, but there's not a man for every woman. And so in a society, you're saying that these sisters should be knocked out, locked out. And in fact, let's be real again. There is a serious group of women in our community, here in this country, who have never heard someone say to them, and mean it, I love you. I appreciate you. I love you. All they ever been was a sex object, you know, because that's what this society is all about, is usury, playing games. You know, it does not promote good relationships. You know, but even though it doesn't, we have to deal with that. You know, that's why some of us who say, well, I agree with polyamory, you know, I mean, you know, if me and her is cool and yet I'm helping her understand how I am about other women. And then me and the other sister is cool. The three of us are cool. The four of us, whatever, because there is an intent. There is some attention that needs to be given to other sisters, you know, who unfortunately have no other choice, you know. And just like you said that, some, or even Brother Ralph said, you know, they'll go after a brother even though they know that he's married. And then some will be that, you know, that side piece, you know, that are willing to be that side piece because there isn't, because maybe for them they feel there is no other way. So we have a lot to deal with the relationships as they manifest themselves in this country, and it's not good.
I agree. I mean, it is. I mean, when you make that point that there's not a man for every woman, I mean, you leave her no other choice because she still has natural biological needs that need to be satisfied, met. Mm-hmm. She needs to have a need for companionship, even if it's at the expense of another woman's man. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it just what are you going to do? I mean, if there's only a limited supply and there's more of a demand than supply, then people are going to have to figure out how can I get mine too.
Right.
So it's just where we are. But it doesn't have to be complicated with a false reality of that is kind of religious and European driven in this society, even though you want to ignore the obvious. What has mankind shown you to be their true nature? And I'm saying mankind, I mean, I want to include both genders.
Right.
What have we shown each other who we really are to be? Eventually we are at most points we are in our self-preservation mode. We're going to put ourselves in the best position to be successful for our best on our own interests, right? Our own personal interests.
Right.
And that's where there's the term taking it to the grave come in. You know, there's a lot of stuff that people that we care about, we really will. We'll give our kidney to. Don't know about what we did to satisfy our own personal agenda. Right. And so in that sense, in relationship, you know, you have it to where even though your European thought, indoctrination says, hey, single, selfish, just two, you know, the reality of it is that it's never been that way. But it doesn't mean, as the brother said before, that I can't take care. That whole village type of thing
right.
that we've gotten away from. So I believe that we have some struggles and some challenges to overcome. But eventually, I believe that we can get there. I just think that right now, as you did, you made a good point. I wanted to touch base on it. You made a great point about the breaking up the family. If you look at it, I work in a call center environment, right? And I go on out on the floor, and I'll see on the low level, the lower level in the servicing department, predominantly African Americans and Hispanics, because we're in Texas. Language, you know, we got to have the bilingual. So anyway, I look at it, then I look at the management team leads. They're all black women.
Okay.
Then I look on the court. I look at the court. What we just had the election. You remember those 12 judges that were elected?
Right. They're right. All those sisters.
12 African American women.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hold on. Because I had some mixed feelings about that. I really did. I mean, I had the pride in the sisters, but, you know, where are the brothers? Where are our men? You know? And I understand that in this society, sisters have been given a little bit more favor, because the greatest challenge to the Caucasian man is the African man. It's not the sister.
Right.
That's the great, that's his great, that's who he must subdue, he must suppress, is the brother. Because they, and just like Frances Cress Welsing said in her analysis, they have the genetic material that can annihilate them. And I think instinctively they still feel that, so they always, they must at every cost, suppress African men. That's why even a brother can be helping out in a situation, even have a gun that he has registered, but when the cracker comes on the scene, he just see a black man with a gun and right away shoot him, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, but you look at it there. So when you look at that dynamic, as far as family goes, the European tells you the head of household is the man. The man is the provider. Okay. So you got that indoctrination coming into, keep that. That's where you were traditionally taught, because again, we know Christianity is a family tradition.
Right.
Right. So that's what they tell you to train them up in the way that they should go. And then they won't depart. So basically with that, you got that indoctrination from birth, right? Early on. So now she's thinking the man's supposed to be the provider. He's supposed to do this, but all the opportunities have been by strategic planning has been given to you, right? Because again, as you said, we are the most threatening aspect to white rule, white male. So we'll uplift the sisters. And that's going back to the point, all the management are black women. So now she's basically saying, okay, well, where are the brothers? Like you said. All right. So now you have a situation where the brothers are targeted, getting felonies on for dumb shit early on in their life. Right. And then we got a situation where I was dating a young lady. We worked at the same place. Right. And once they found out, this is how crackers don't want to finance your empowerment. This is how bad they will not, they don't want to have that happen. So when they found out, just through conversation, hey man, I didn't know you and such and such was together. He made the comment, y'all trying to make all the money. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Okay. So guess what? 2 days later, we got to show our leases. To them, to show that we don't live together.
Wow.
Wait
a minute.
This is crazy.
Wait a minute. Is it forbidden? Is that something? Is that a corporate policy, a company policy? You know? And
it's more to the story. Yeah, I'm like, why is that? We just got, because they want to talk about it under fraternized. I said, but we don't work under each other. She's not under me and I'm not under her.
Right.
And we're not even on the same team. So what does it matter? Right. But anyway, so we have to show that. 2 days, a couple of months later, guess what? The brother got to go. I get moved to straight to a layoff or term over some crazy policy and procedure infraction. Because we're in Texas, it's an at-will state.
There's nothing to protect you. There's nothing to protect you. If they make that decision, it is what it is. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, especially if they say it's against policy, if it's a policy or a procedure type of infraction. So basically they tied it into something. But it was just ironic how that went down. And again, out of the two, the male and the female, guess who got to go?
Oh, yeah, you. The male.
The brother got to go.
The brother got to go.
You throw it back. Right. So you throw it back in. A man is supposed to be the provider.
Right.
He's supposed to be the breadwinner. He's the protector. He's the head of household. Mm-hmm. And now you totally empower her to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then you totally demoralize him.
Exactly. In her eyes and fracture that relationship.
In her eyes.
Yes.
Yeah. So now she's like, man, now I'm tired of these brothers. But again, it's a situation where it's even deeper because now you even broke it up in the household. And how the white folks set it up, man, it's almost genius if you just break it down. Because again, if we separate the household and you got these single mothers, now we understand that we got these boys being raised by a nurturing creature. So now the over-coddling is in effect. We got these. Now we see the mother, the big sister, the aunt, and the grandmother spoiling the shit out of these little boys, right? Now the root cause is the absentee father. He's the one who started the campfire in California. But who the fuck put gasoline on it and fanned it? Was the mother, was the females in the family. So they basically, we understand the absentee father, but this is not a self-correcting dynamic, brother. If we got to figure out how can we start preparing these boys to become men that these women who are raising them would even want. Because right now they're raising boys to be men that they don't even want. They're not responsible.
Oh, no.
Their problem solving is mama.
Right. They're very weak. They're very weak in terms of mentality, in terms of physiological. I mean, in some of them, I mean, I live here in Atlanta. And, of course, this is the American African gay capital. There's, you know, this is where a lot of American
ground
Africans,
zero.
It is. It really is here in Atlanta. And I mean, sisters here, when you're talking about there's eight sisters to one brother, and it's like, wow, the competition. That's like I saw this one video on YouTube. The sister said, "Don't come to Atlanta. When you're I'm tired of y'all. It's bad enough as it is. Stay away from that. Don't move here. Don't come to Atlanta. It's bad enough as it is." Begging them not to come here. You know, but the reality is that we have a situation where the home life, the family life, and it is just not good. You know, and that's why we have the mass incarceration that we have. Is because of all the problems that we have within this society, you know. So to me, what we need to do is look at, as brothers and sisters, are we being upfront with one another? Are we being respectful and truthful to one another? And if that's the case, and if you and him and y'all want to do something in terms of relationship that y'all have, that's y'all business. As long as you keep it right, as long as you keep it straight ahead. I think the problem, of course, with infidelity is the lying, you know, is the deceit, is the cheating. Well, if I didn't have, because, well, if the society wasn't that way, I recognize that the society perpetuates this idea of monogamy, you know, which is something that is not realistic. And I recognize that the religion, which we're going to get off into once we come back from the break, is the perpetrator of that. And even within the religion, you know, all of the fallacies, all of the contradictions, you know, within the church, whatever church it is, whether it's Catholic, particularly Baptist, even Sanctified, and all the mass contradictions, you know. So we're going to take a break, brother. When we come back from that break, we're going to continue this conversation. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to be playing the Kwanzaa music from the CD, Seven Principles by Kwame Cobb and Chavin Duka out of Chicago. And this one is Ujima.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
we have to carry to make a new world. It's a long and bumpy road that leads to the life we design.
Oh, you might
so
erase.
A new mighty race.
You can do what you can
accomplish
will.
What you will.
Commit to do the work.
Strength is multiplied till we put our selfishness aside.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media. This evening on Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank will host Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC on Wednesdays from 8 to 10. On Friday, if it's 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's Friday, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. And then on Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Getting back to the conversation that we're having, my guest is Brother Kenneth Marshall and his two books. Brother Marshall, I really appreciate this, man, always, as always. This is the third time me and you have chopped this up, man, so we got to continue to do this, man, because we always have good conversation, and believe me, I appreciate the work that you do. I really do.
Thank you. Thank you.
One of the things that, you know, when I was on Facebook, I was following, you know, we're Facebook friends, and I was following the ongoing dialogue that you were having, you know, because mm-hmm. I know I'm here in Atlanta, you're in Dallas, and it's all the Bible Belt, it's the Southern thing, and you know, and believe me, we have been deeply indoctrinated with the belief of a system, a religious system that goes against us. In fact,
right.
I maintain, because see, I believe in self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And that is collective. Christianity is not a religion for the collective. Christianity is a religion for the individual. That's why you can have somebody. In fact, I remember one of your things, somebody talking about they blessed and highly favored, you know, but you hear people say that I'm blessed and highly favored, you know, their family is going to hell. The family life is bad. The community life is bad, but yet they're blessed. They're highly favored, you know, because they believe
right.
in Jesus. They believe in Jesus as God and that they want, in fact, there are some of them so arrogantly say, well, I hope the tribulation happened tomorrow because I know I'm going to heaven while all these other folks is going to hell. You know, it is a
right.
religion that perpetuates a selfish individualistic mindset. And of course, for us, that's detrimental.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you look at it, I always make the point about weaponized Christianity. And that is a true example of its weaponry at its finest, to where even in the midst of all the hell that you are subjugated to by your oppressors, that you could still find within this particular dynamic, this system, that you feel some level of favor amidst of all of the tyranny that you're subjected to. Mm-hmm. And now you can clearly see why the Christianity was weaponized and forced upon you when you came over, and they separated you from the motherland. They killed off all of the old Africans that came over that were still going to be hell bent on their spirituality, mm-hmm. and they say let's go ahead and just cut them all out of the equation, and we're going to go with that, training them up in the way that they should go with the new ones,
yeah.
right? And that'll be all they know. And then we'll, even though the Bible tells you that there is a brown skinned, woolly haired individual who is your Messiah, we're going to show you pictures of a white dude
mm-hmm.
with some blue eyes.
Right.
So, because we know imagery is
everything.
Definitely more powerful
oh, yeah.
than audio.
Exactly. Imagery is everything.
So now,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you're right, because imagery is everything. That's why it was imperative for them to have that Caucasian on the cross. And all the other iconic imagery, economic imagery that they have within Christian religion. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And then so when you do that, so religion, so basically, and it kind of goes back into it, because me and doing that whole election with Beto and everything, a couple of my friends are going back at me. A lot of my relatives was going back at me. And my mom's side is just full of old school Christians,
mm-hmm.
old school. My whole mom's side of my mom's family, pastors, play the organ for the piano. For the church and everything. So anyway, they're going back at me. And what you got to understand in the weaponized version of Christianity, especially in its usage, and then also the mindset of the dominant species that is to govern and rule over you, they have you focus on what I call the illusion of inclusion
mm-hmm.
and this little victories within the illusion of inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, when you talk about, again, I'm going to heaven, you make it individualistic, it's all a selfish type of religion. If you look at it, you focus on small victories within this tyranny. So if you get out of, if you work your fingers to the damn bone, you could possibly get a little victory and come into the house. Oh man, I made it.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I made it. But you're still a goddamn slave.
Yeah.
That's what Harriet says. I could have freed 1,000 more if they only knew they were slaves. So now you fast forward to this year, this election thing. Well, black folks in Texas didn't give two shits who won. They just wanted to change the color of the state so they could say, now we did it,
uh-huh.
in your face.
Right.
That was a little victory if they could have got it.
Right.
Because again, your oppression is constitutional. It's in the amendments. It's in the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. So your condition as a black person and as an African in America would not have changed, regardless of Beto or Cruz or the one.
Exactly.
Because it's so again, I said, in the illusion of inclusion, we'll include you in the voting process. But guess what you're ultimately going to be able to determine? Out of five slave masters, you're going to just be able to vote which one is going to hold the whip when they're whipping your ass.
Exactly, because ain't nothing going to change.
That's all you're determining.
That's it. That's it. We have another caller. Let's take this call, okay? Caller, yes, 602. 602.
Yes, Brother Oshie. Good morning, and good morning to your guests.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. Hey, how you doing, Brother Marcus?
I'm doing all right. Good. I'm doing all right, good brother. You know, that first book of the Bible, the Genesis, that book. Whenever I need a good laugh, I read that book. You see, because if you listen to the story, it don't make any sense. You see, God made Adam and Eve, okay? Put them in the garden of Eden, blah, blah, blah. Now, women catch hell because it is the way the book is written. It is through the woman why sin entered the earth. Because the woman, she went and got the fruit and ate of the fruit and went and gave it to Adam. So she catch hell right there because she the one who allows sin to enter the earth. Then the story go on. They said, okay, Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel. Cain kill Abel, okay, leaving Cain, Adam, and Eve. Later on, Adam, he crawl off and died, leaving only Eve and Cain. So you finish the story, what Cain was doing to his mother. He was the first, you know what, okay?
The first real mother.
Exactly.
The first MF, huh?
Exactly. He was the first one. So it don't make any damn sense. But our people suck it up. We drink it up. You know, but, you know, we realize they gave our people religion during slavery. As this is going to be your salvation. Because ain't nothing for you to look for here on earth. You're going to get yours in the by and by. See? And our people never let it go. We kept holding on to it. You know, so, you know, it's just madness. It's madness.
I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
No, I'm going to hang up and continue listening.
All right. Thanks
appreciate
a lot.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Brother Marcus.
Man, he made some funny points. I know you probably saw that post. I did a post with Eve eating the apple.
Right.
And I was basically saying, you know, if you look at it, first of all, the whole point of it is, you know, the taking of the rib did for you to create a, if you already know that everything is predestined and you already know how you want this whole book to go down because you're all knowing, how did you just make two at the same time in the first place? Or why did you have to say, oh, I saw it was good. Oh, he needs a mate. You knew that already. Okay, so second off, then you take a rib out of his body. Did you practice that process for every creature on earth? Did every male did the male of each species have to take a part of their wing, if it's an insect, to create their female? Okay, then after you did that, after you created life from the man, you said, I don't want him to have that responsibility no damn more. Let me go and make sure that she had the kids now, which doesn't make any sense. Then you go back apple.
And then because of her indiscretion and her doing what she had done, he made her to labor. The pain of giving birth.
there's certain scriptures in the Bible that talk about forgiveness, that it's better for you to forgive. But God can't practice his own and forgive Eve, so you women don't have to suffer in 2017, 2018. That's really some petty shit right there. That's petty. You know what I mean? I can forgive a murderer. I can forgive a sex offender. I can forgive everybody, but damn it, she ate that apple, man, and that was one of my favorite apples. I wanted that apple. I mean, it sounds childish. It sounds mother goose-ish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it just kills me how we hold on to it. And like I always say, you know, I look at it, I have confidence within myself. I know that there's nothing that has not been done for me that I didn't put myself in some type of position. Either it's developing a relationship. I can't be on this show right now without developing a relationship with you, without my post, without you seeing the post, and then you and I developing a relationship and camaraderie.
Right.
That was us. Okay. I can't get a job unless I deal the application. Or I know somebody inside that which I developed the relationship. So I believe in myself, right? And this whole sense of it to where in this particular religion, when you're saying that the reason why I hold on to it is because I have proof. There's just certain things that God has done for me that I know it had to be nobody but God.
Right.
People love to fail to realize all the shit that they did to make that happen.
Right.
There's if you just observe life, like I said, if you just observe life as a person just overlooking it, you're going to see people who win and sometimes you lose.
Exactly.
Right. That's just it. But if I can trick you to make you believe that the balance of win and losses can be determined by your obedience to a supernatural deity.
Mm.
And you're praying to him, I got you.
Exactly. And that's how they have been able to captivate our minds through a theology of trichnology, because that's definitely what it
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
You know, because there's nothing historical about it. And I think that's why I rail against Christianity specifically, because it purports itself. It says it's historical. You know, even though this religion came about 2,000 years ago, maybe a little longer, maybe whatever. But we're talking about African people having a spirituality that was 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 or more years. And then the religion the religion of Christianity, all of the things that you say is based upon all the things that were done 4,000, 5,000 years prior. And so you're saying, see, because their mindset is, well, yeah, that was then, and that was myth, that was fairy tale, that was allegory, but what I have is historical. What I have is true. I mean, stop it. And then not only that, I can take you to Kemet, into the temples and tombs, and I can show you. There is Medu Netcher, what the Greeks call hieroglyphs, on the wall that will tell you who individuals were, who's buried here, and so forth. Damn it, you can't find one disciple. You can't find none of that stuff, except for to say that we believe, just like in Egypt, that at that particular church, that they believe that Jesus was buried here or something like that. You know, it is a belief, because nothing, all of it. I mean, I never forget watching the Discovery Channel, one of the channels, talking about trying to find the ark, and also too trying to find Noah's ark, you know.
Right.
The reason why
Good
you
luck.
Never find exactly you never find it, because it wasn't real. It wasn't historical. These are stories. These, just like Dr. Clark said, you know, he said African parents tell their children these kinds of stories, that the illustration may not be true, but if the meaning is true, he gives a comparison about how the spider got its small waistline. How the spider got its small waistline was because the spider was greedy. The spider heard about a banquet that's going to happen on this side of town. He told his friend, hey, listen, when this banquet's about to start, I'm going to put this rope around my waist. When this banquet's about to start, I want you to pull it so I can go over there and I can get down on that good food, because I know it's going to be good. But then he found out about another banquet on the opposite side of town. So he put a rope around his waist. And he told his friend, "Say, hey, now when this banquet starts, I want you to pull the rope so I can get down on this side." And of course, they started at the same time, and bam, you know. But the message is, eat enough, but don't be greedy. You see, so the illustration is not true, but the message is true. But yet they want us to believe that the stories of the Bible are historical, that they are true, and they are not. And so what's even deeper is that we're coming upon a time, the holiday time, the Christmas time, where the story is supposed to be true. you know, and all the stuff outside of it, of course, the holly, the wreath, the tree, Santa Claus, Cinder Claus, Black Pete, all these other things added into that Christmas kind of thing are fictional. And they admit that. But the birth of Jesus is true, because one thing for sure about Christianity, mm-hmm. there's two things that have to be historical, even though they're not, is the birth of Jesus and his sacrifice, the death of Jesus. Those two things right. have to be, because otherwise the faith itself, the foundation is out. And you know, I love brothers and sisters, because I know how we do when we embrace something, we go all in, you know. So I know there's some good churches and they have a good sermon and they have a good preacher. Oh man, the choir is outstanding and all that kind of stuff, you know, but the foundation, the reality of it is not real. That's why, to me, I've never embraced, although I know I have some good people in, you know, liberation theology. In fact, you know, the Shrine of the Black Madonna is a place where one of the first places with Reverend Klieg back in Detroit was promoting black liberation theology, you know. But I'm sorry, I just don't see Christianity being the method that will liberate African people, because it's not a religion that speaks to us collectively. It speaks to individuals, you see, and that's why.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
yeah, I mean, when you say that, I mean, I know you saw the post that I put in with T.D. Jakes that has, if the black church really empowered black people based on how this country gets down and treats that type of thing, all black churches would be shut down, right? So, of course, it's not to unify. It's a situation where it's to pacify. Mm-hmm. It is to blind. It is to make you blind to and accepting to what you're being subjected to as being ordained, right?
Right.
Because, again, that's why we throw the white face up in front of you as your Messiah, your Savior.
Mm-hmm.
How can your Savior look like your captor,
mm-hmm.
right? In a sense to where... Again, we go back to where you found the little victories that you find within oppression to make you believe and even have the gall to say, I'm blessed and highly favored, while I'm getting murdered, raped, slaughtered, and all kind of stuff, right?
Right.
So if you look in that sense, and then we throw it in to where we can even make it to where, think about it. It's all about a gimmick and a mascot. That's all Santa Claus is.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the reality face that we want to use so you can identify with. And then Santa Claus is the mascot. He's the Geico. You know, he's the Geico, gecko of the Geico. He's the bunny. I mean, so you guys understand.
Yeah.
So again, how can I make it more appealing to the kid when I tell you need to train him up
mm-hmm.
in the way that they should go so they'll never part? So you got to understand the master plan, the malevolent master plan that these crackers have. So again, we're going to make Christmas all for the kids,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to tie it into who? Jesus' birth. But mm-hmm. I need you to also train them up in the way they should go. So the kids are going to be more receptive and more willing to partake in this nonsense. It's all a method. And we as a people, man, I swear, from St. Patrick Day, when we know that was nothing but a slaughter of the Twa people and everything, we are some brandy type people. We just want to be down.
We see, because also too, the leadership or misleadership that has been given to us, not the leadership that merges from us that is true and want to help
Absolutely.
Liberate our minds. It's those who continue to curry favor with the system of trying to do some integration, assimilation, go along to get along, believing that the theology that has been imposed upon us, the Christian theology, is the right way for us to go. It is global. It is global. I mean, you can go to Africa, brother, and I've been there, particularly in Ghana, mm-hmm. and I'm quite sure in Nigeria, because, you know, you see posters of Caucasian Jesus. You go to the church, you see the fans and, you know, pictures of Caucasian Jesus, you know? And
right.
because they believe, because just like you said, the main weaponry that the European uses before he puts the military in there is, you know, it's the Christianity.
The missionaries.
It's the missionaries to soften you up, to take the children, you know, and put it into the minds of the children. That's why for those of us who hate Christmas, but yet they'll be willing to give Christmas to the children. Because, number one, you don't want children to be all alienated. Oh, you ain't getting none for Christmas? Or you didn't celebrate? No, I don't say. Oh, man. You know, what's wrong with you? You know, all the other thugs. So the child who doesn't get anything or doesn't celebrate it is feeling ostracized and alienated and made fun of. Because, you know, but to me, we ought to stop the damn madness as a people. But it's not going to happen. Because if Christmas wasn't the way it is, they would have created something else. Because this is capitalism. Is the whole idea is to find a way to get your money. The whole idea is to have a celebration and it's, and where there's gift giving and gift getting, you know, so you to spend your money, you know.
Absolutely.
So the fact of the matter is, many people don't care if it's real or not. It's the idea. You know, I used to always say that if Christmas, you know, if you feel better about yourself and humanity because of the supposed enlightenment that you have because of Christmas, I wish you would feel that way every day, 365 days, as opposed to one day or one week or one weekend. I wish you would feel that way every day. But of course, we know that's not the case, you know, but that's how they can work your mind. That's why you need to step outside of the imposed boundaries that the European has placed us in to look at the situation for what it is. Step outside of it. I know it's very difficult, you know, because the European, he has a, as I always say, he has a vice grip on our mind. And the main thing that keeps that vice grip intact is Christian religion, or really theologies, period, because even Islam. All of them, you know, Dr. Clark said in all these religions ain't nothing but male chauvinistic murder cults. Male chauvinistic murder cults. But when you have that vice grip that's on your mind and you are constantly being dictated to, then you'll never release it. But in order for you to see clearly and understand who you are culturally, who you are historically, you need to turn that knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip. And turning that knob is symbolic of acquiring that knowledge of who you are, that knowledge of self, that belief in who you are, the history of who you are as a people. And as you continue to turn that knob, now the tension on that vice grip begins to loosen. Now you can, bam, pull it open. And then look at it for what it is. And look at them for who they are. And it's not like we can change them. We can't do a damn thing about the Caucasian. He suffers from cognitive dissonance. He believes that he is superior and everything that he brings is superior. And everything else is inferior. He believes this. And there's nothing we could do or say that could change that. So don't even try. To hell with him. Kick his ass to the curb and let's move on with our agenda to be a free and self-determining people. But that's very hard. Because we're in the midst of it. We're in the land of it. You want to take a call? You got a comment, brother?
All right.
Okay, we got a caller. 646-646.
Okay, brother. Open to the guest.
Hey, Jay. How you doing? We got brother Kenneth Marshall on from Dallas, Texas. He wrote a couple of good books on relationships, and he's been battling folks with this Christianity thing on Facebook. Hey. Go ahead, Jay.
So the one question that one has to ask themselves in regards to Christianity is, how could you believe in something that was given to you when the person was abusing you, raping you, and murdering you, and using it as a justification for that behavior towards you? Only a sick people would participate in that type of madness.
I agree. You know, brother, and that that's in my in the third book I'm writing. This is my alter ego is called. I refer to myself as Malcolm Tex.
Malcolm Tex. All right.
Yeah, Malcolm Tex. So I talk about the herd, the pack versus the herd mentality, and real quick, it's basically, you know, with both social orders relying on its numbers of each member to cooperate in a cooperative input to be successful, you have a situation where white folks knew that we came over as a pack, with a pack mentality. We work for the betterment of our community and our people. Pack moves with a purpose, right? And then they said we have to immediately go in and change that pack to a domesticated herd mentality, to where the herd moves with the purpose of its shepherd, right? And when we have been converted into a herd mentality, that's why everything seems to fail when you still have a few born pack members, just because we're still in our genetic code, try to uprise and say, no, this is not the way. Can't you see it? But that's like trying to get a sheep to understand that it isn't supposed to just go along with the program. Right.
Well, we don't understand that analysis at all, bro, because it looks like, in all truthfulness, we trying to get closer and closer to this Yoruba each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
Everything
right.
that we do in our focus at this time is to try and make the white man our Lord and Savior. That's all. You know, it was funny. I had heard a brother today talking about what's going on with this whole Russia thing. And they try to justify it, saying that it was done to black folks and we have to stand up against it and go USA, USA. But the thing that they don't clearly want to admit to is that's the same sugar, honey, iced tea that we do all around the world.
Right.
Then when I ask them the proverbial question, name me a place where people of color have lived amongst themselves in harmony, and the Yoruba came in their midst, and they just totally caused massive havoc.
Mm-hmm.
Rape, murdered,
yep.
did all the
yep.
unevil things that one could do to a people. There's no place in the world that the white man hasn't done it. But you want to justify your love of him.
Yeah. Under the skies.
You can't name one place.
No, there isn't, because that's under the skies of where they went, that they were primitive. We're advanced. The Europeans' idea,
well,
we're advanced.
Have to be
very primitive.
Or advanced, Oshi. It's just basic. It's, how would one say the word? Basic human decency.
They don't have that.
You don't go in. No, they don't have any. Never had any. Never will. You don't go someplace where people are flourishing amongst themselves, minding their business, and go in there and do what the white man has done to everyone. And then have the nerve to call yourself civilized, Christian, or Islamic, or Jew, or whatever. I mean, it's just hypocritical. And the thing is, we as a people, for some reason, can't put into context what the white man is. We have no concept whatsoever, honestly, of what this white man is. He's a devil. He's beyond the devil, if there is a devil. He's the worst thing on the planet when you put him into total context in regards to his race. He's the worst. Nobody has done to civilization what this cracker has done. You can't name me no other ethnic group that has behaved like him.
No, what so, he has, no, know, and you're right, Jay, because what he has done, he has put the planet, he has made the planet out of balance. He has made the planet out of order. There is no idea deeper than what he has brought that gives people the mentality to destroy the ecology, to destroy other human beings. When people talk about Holocaust or genocide, the only ones that have made that a reality has been Europeans, have been Caucasians. And even though the European Jew has co-opted that word Holocaust, it didn't happen. Because the real Holocaust is what we have experienced and still experiencing, you see. Because to me, if you still have your mind, you still have your culture, you still have your ability to earn, you didn't go through no damn Holocaust. A Holocaust is you were really stripped of who you are. A Holocaust is you have no historic memory. A Holocaust, now you're a derivative human being. That didn't happen to them. It has happened to us.
You're leaving something out, OC. You know what you're leaving out?
What am I leaving out, Jay?
How could you talk about the Holocaust? How could you talk about the Holocaust when you're doing the same thing to another people? Get it?
Mm-hmm. Get it? Yeah.
How can you?
Yeah.
How can you?
Right, what they're doing to the Palestinians.
I mean, isn't that hypocritical?
Yes.
Isn't that? But that's because people don't put things in the context. It's just like you talking about Christianity and they talk about godly men, right? How could you be a godly man turning the godly person into evil? How could that be? You're never, as a godly man, supposed to turn someone into evil. Now, that's what he's done to most of the people on the planet. And why they're evil? Because they got to defend themselves against the white man.
Yeah.
But nobody puts these things in the context.
How many people in the Bible did Satan kill? Nobody.
I have no idea, because I never read that thing.
Well, let me tell you, zero. But God kills all type of people. Yes. God, Satan influences. God destroys, because he has the wrath of God, right?
Right?
So if you think about that whole concept of being godlike, they are exactly what the God that they have created out of their mind and their imagination, the same place they created Thanos, the same place they created Yoda. It's all the same part of the brain that creates fictional characters. It's going to always be a pyramid of good versus evil, and then you have the good super guy, the bad super guy, and all their minions underneath. So they're exactly like they talk about in their Bible. They will kill you for their personal gain. They have no idea of how to share. They are completely a virus.
Yes.
Everything else in Earth really don't take more than what they need, from the animal kingdom to other indigenous people of the land. But this European cave dweller, he comes out and has no concept of share and only take what you need. It is to conquer everything I see and take yours as mine, keep you underneath me to work for me, and I'll give you what I'm willing to part with. Look at America. It's exactly that way.
Yep.
LeBron.
Do you know what makes him so profound? The white man, the Yerugal, the devil, he makes things extinct. He makes animals. He makes plants. He makes fishes. He makes people. He makes everything distinct. Extinct. He wipes the world of most things. So, you know, you can't have no growth on the planet with this white man. It's not going to happen. Now, we think it may happen, but it's not going to happen. Global warming is real. He don't even want to acknowledge that. How is it that you have one basically influence on how the world addresses and deal with global warming, this dirtbag in the cracker house? Here it is, because this cracker don't believe in global warming, nothing is going to get done in regards to global warming around the world, because the other nations are not going to stand up and demand that something be done. So whereby, what is the future of our children and grandchildren when it's all said and done? And this is what we don't do. Anytime somebody tell me I'm going to leave it in the hand of the Lord, I just walk away from them.
Well, listen.
That's the end of the argument.
Jay, because the reality is this: it is so damn bad realistically, physically, it is so damn bad that you really do pray for. We got a lot of feedback. I'm gonna have to try to. It's too bad. I'm gonna do a little muting here. I'll let you back in because I just had a lot of feedback. Make sure that you. But anyway, it's so damn bad that you pray for divine intervention. You pray for something to happen that changes this whole dynamic. Because the way it looks, it doesn't look good at all. And you're right. He may or may not believe in global warming. That's not the question. Because what he does believe in is money. And oil, steel, generates money. So they don't give a damn about the fact that because of oil and the burning of fossil fuels over the extended period of time has caused an atmospheric change to such degree that some say, and I had it on this program a couple weeks ago, that by the year 2040, which is 21 years away from now, only 21 years, that is going to be irreversible, that the planet itself will continue to have these cataclysmic conditions. And understand what global warming is, and not the fact that the Earth is warming, because that is a fact. That is a fact. But it's also extreme weather conditions, extreme weather conditions. Brother Marshall, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm loving the conversation. I really believe that, again, you follow the money, you follow the root source, the root cause and the source. Mm-hmm. And these particular white people have no concern of any other species' well-being. They're not going to change it. The world is going to always gravitate towards their particular culture because they have set it up in this world mm-hmm. to where they own the bigger stick That's than right. everybody else. That's why they'll sit there and put the propaganda on Gaddafi. That's him being a madman, power control. You know, he's just a mad guy to justify sentiment to kill him. Mm-hmm. Then you have a situation where you have the exact same.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
No, I can't. Go ahead.
All right, yeah. So then you have a situation with the guy in Korea. They making him look like a power.
Oh, yeah.
Power control.
Kim Jong-un.
Their whole, yes, and yeah. So they're going to always make it to where the world is going to follow their lead. They're CNN. They're the country that where they sell that you can come here and be everything you want to be, but it should be you can come over here and be what we allow you to be. And if you get out of hand, we'll kill you or send you back to your homeland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a situation where the world is in a place where they want to allow anyone else to have the same size stick on the block. Again, think about it. If we all apply for a gun and get gun control and get legalized guns, if all black people begin to start doing that, they'll change the laws because now they'll feel threatened.
Exactly.
If every black person was to denounce Christianity and say, no, we're going to go back to practicing whatever spirituality, whatever that was African-based from whatever region that we're from, we're going to denounce your Christianity, your version, they'll have a fit. They're all terrorists
mm-hmm.
because they can't, what they can't do is live in fear. That's what a lot of people can't do. The Indians, the Native Americans here, never really to the Christianity. Never really.
No, because they knew better. See, they couldn't impose that on them, nor could they enslave them because it was their land. They had a clear knowledge of who they were, of their land and their culture. See, us, it was different because when they brought us over here, they split us up and so forth. And the main thing was to instill fear into us. You know, we got another caller. I'm going to take this caller. 646. Good afternoon. 646. Jay.
Yeah. It's me, Ophie.
Okay. I'm going to take this other caller. Hold on, Jay. Thank you. And 912. Go ahead. Good afternoon. 912.
Did I mean?
Yes. Go ahead, please. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. I didn't even know I was visual. But this is my first time coming to this channel.
Thank you.
Someone told me. Someone told me about you guys, so I had to get on because I, like, within the last year, I guess I've started going through this awakening. So this is, it's new to me. It's kind of heartening at the same time to find all of this out at the, I'm not old, but at the age that I am, I'm in my 30s. And
well, you're in the right age, dear. You're in the right time for this kind of transformation within your life, you know, to get to gain the knowledge. So I'm glad that you're with us. Hope that you continue to listen every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and other programs. I really thank you. You got any question for my good brother, Kenneth Marshall?
I guess I do have a quick, because I was listening about the whole, like, religion thing. So it's hard to, I guess, being taught for so long, you know, about the Bible and all this stuff, is how do you, I guess, just kind of change to let it go? Because it's scary at the same time, because you don't want to be, I guess, on the wrong side. Side.
Well, you know, it's like this, sister. It's like this, sister. You know, I was talking to a young man some time ago, and in our conversation, he was consistently rejecting what I was saying, even though I was coming from a narrative of history or fact. He has a narrative of faith, just based on faith alone. And so my mindset was, as I said to him, I said, you know, I understand. You rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. Because if you don't believe and it be true, your ass gonna burn in hell. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know what, and this brother, and this brother Marshall, I know it's a struggle, because I was there too. I mean, again, I post on my page, is Christianity, are you a Christian due to tradition or because you understand the faith? But then you can't say that it isn't if you understand tradition is a passing of customs from one family member to the next. And then also the verse that says to train them up in the way that they should go. So that lets you know that it's a tradition, right?
Yeah.
And again, what Brother Oshie just was saying, that is what we call Pascal's wager. It's a situation where I'll bet my life on something that I believe, though I have no proof of it, just in case of the worst case scenario. And my sister tells me, Ken, it ain't about heaven. It's about if hell exists. And that fear is how they control you. Because, again, if you look at the facts, as Brother Oshie was saying, there's nothing factual about this belief. That's why you are called a believer, not a knower. You don't know a damn thing about what that Bible has taught you. And as he said before, it is passed on as historical facts. Even the shit that don't make sense about a talking snake, a man living in a well for 3 days, somebody able to feed the city of Cleveland with a loaf of bread and two fish. A lot of that is blind faith is what you go on, because you're going to run across some people who's going to tell you, look at the facts.
Yeah.
So that's where you're going to. So, yeah, that fear is real life. And you should see a situation where you just got to lean on the facts of what you see. And you got to also understand the strategic purpose behind Christianity. Your beliefs shouldn't be based on fear.
Yeah.
You got to look at the whole point of why Christianity was given to a person, a whole mass race of people at the exact same time they were being converted. Into slaves. You were being converted. You was being stripped of Africa and converted into a European mindset to follow a European-based religion that was stolen from all other type of religions. At the exact same time, you were being converted and forced into being a slave. And think about it right now, sister. If something was to happen catastrophically, think about it before your awakening. What would have been your first thing to do? Pray about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about that as a slave. I want you to as a slave master introducing Christianity to a person that I had every intent to control and enslave and terrorize, I want you to adopt this religion to where you see me as Christ, because I give you a picture of a blue-eyed person, I want you to see me as a, as what I'm doing to you and subjecting you to is ordained. And anytime that it gets so bad, I want you to pray for me and understand that all the hell I'm taking you through on earth, you're going to get your reward at that. So don't need to revolt against me now. Your reward is at the end of it. And once you die, once I kill you, that is brilliant. That is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you introduce Christianity to a person that you're wanting to control?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you just think about how, and why it was so easy to get us. The first thing you got to do in Christianity, to accept Christianity, is to deny yourself of being worth a damn. Because think about it, in Christianity, you're filthy, you're born sinner, you can't do shit on your own, right? So all night down, your confidence has been totally shaken, totally destroyed. You have no belief in yourself. Yeah. But hey, and if you stay in this current state of mind, you're burning hell. But I got something for you that can save you. It's my Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was so powerful and accepted, because I made you believe you were less than comparable, and my God is the only way that you can save yourself from yourself, because you were born filthy.
Hey, let me get Jay back in here, sister. Hang on, okay? Just hang on, my sister.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, Jay, I know you want to get back in here because we don't have that much time.
And basically, you know, I would just like to say to the sister, congratulations on your awakening. You know, you just have to read. You have to, you know, see what are the things that are truthful. And what are lies? You know, you just can't be manipulated by those lessons that was given to you. Because if you ever really sit down and think about most of the things that were given to you in regards to the Bible, it was basically to control your emotions. That's all. And once you can control your emotions and your reaction on this information, then you could move forward in, you know, claiming your African mind, your African freedom. Because remember this, anything that your oppressor gives you is not good for you, because he has no reason to be good to you. His job is solely to control you. You know what I mean? To brainwash you, to get your loyalty. And you know, that's what the white man do. He get Negroes loyalties, and once he got their loyalties, they're better Yorugu. They're a better white man. I mean, think about it. What's a better white man than Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton? I can't think of too many that's better than them, because what do they do? They do. They promote the control and the continuous growth of the white man's empire. All they ask is that they let us come in and, you know, stand by the table. Not sit at the table, stand by the table and continue to get the scraps thrown on the floor. So congratulations to you, sister, and I hope you really enjoy your journey, because it's the most beautiful journey in the world once you wake up your African mind. And Oshie, I'll speak to you on Wednesday and see you again. I really enjoyed your presentation. Put me on mute, Oshie.
All right, Jay. Thank you, my brother.
Hotep.
My sister, we want to thank
you.
Go ahead.
Please,
yep. Go ahead, Marshall.
And sister, please just start believing in yourself again. If you understand how it was, how your confidence in your self belief and worth was completely crushed in the very beginning to accept Christianity, you got to understand that is the basic foundation of your acceptance of it. So now you got to restore that with your belief, because now you just got to look at it from an actual factual reality of everything that you really ever obtained, even though you may have prayed about it. You understand the work that you put into it, right? If you were to just stand in one spot and just pray for something to happen, in that one spot, you will die. But if you got up and went to work and put effort in executing in something, even without prayer, you still have an opportunity to be successful. Life is not going to be all wins. It's not going to be all losses, but it's basically what you do as far as your belief in yourself to get out there and make it happen. And it's never been any other person. It hasn't been, because white people even set you up to make you believe that even from your job, that was by their grace. The grocery stores is by their grace. Everything is set up. And then even your religion, when I put a white person in front of you, is by, right now, in your mind, you believe nothing that you've ever gotten has came to you unless it was given to you by a white person, which happens to be ordained that he looks like my Christ. It's you gotta look at the weaponized strategic plan behind Christianity, and then you can understand why Constantine created it.
Mm-hmm.
Created it.
That's right. It was created in 325 AD at the Nicene Conference. The whole concept and idea. Now, there was concepts of Christianity prior to that, particularly the Coptic Church out of Egypt. But in terms of the concepts that we have today, the theology, even all the other reformations, all the other denominations, the bottom line piece is still the same. You know, I only got a couple of minutes. Sister, hang on.
All right.
I'm going to talk with you, Brother Marshall. Give me some closing remarks. I'm going to have you on again. This is always enlightening. I always enjoy reading some of your posts on Facebook, and I always enjoy having you on the air with me. Give me some closing remarks, brother.
Absolutely, brother. I really appreciate it. Yeah, again, I mean, I know the first part of the show was about the relationship concept. I do have two books that can be found on Amazon. The first of the three, well, two, is going to be Why Must We Play These Dating Games? Is Dating True? Loss Prevention versus Damage Control. So, yeah, you can get those at Amazon. If you're in Dallas, you can come through the Doc Bookshop and Pan-Africa Connection. And also, as far as the religious aspect of it, again, reclaim your African mind. Understand the strategic purpose behind this Euro version of Christianity was to not empower you, but you empower someone with something that would make your goal and your intent to control them more difficult. It makes no sense. I will not give a person weapons, guns, into having their household if I plan to come in and storm their household and take over. It just doesn't make any sense. So understand the strategic purpose and weaponization of Christianity and its effect on your African mind, and who was the one who provided this particular scheme to dominate and control you. Reclaim your African mind.
We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, it's been a great program today. Thank you for joining us. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Also, Bibi Fahodio. Bibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahodio family, peace. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Thank you. All right. All right.